Welcome to Whidbey Island Living with Reed Schwartz, a podcast that explores the unique and diverse experiences of the people who call Whidbey Island home. Join host Reed Schwartz as he delves into the lives of the locals, uncovers hidden gems, and discovers the many reasons why Whidbey Island is such an amazing place to live. From artists to activists, business owners to fishermen, Reed's conversations are sure to inspire and entertain. So sit back, relax, and get ready to experience the magic of Whidbey Island through the stories of its people.
Hey, it's Reed here with Whidbey Island Living, and today I'm at Orlando's Southern Barbecue with the one and only Orlando Stoneham. Hey, Orlando, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, Reed?
Doing great. So, how have things been going here in the restaurant?
Oh, well, things have been going fantastic. It's unbelievable. Our 5 years anniversary is coming up this month.
It seems like the time went by so fast and so slow at the same time, especially in the restaurant business. Looking back, you can recount every single holiday, every single setback, every single monumental success, and it seems like it goes by that fast. But then you think about each and every day that's gone by, and you're like, oh, that day seemed to go on forever. This day, oh my goodness, that day, this went wrong, that went wrong, but we made it through. So overall perspective, the days seem long, but the years and months seem short. And before we know it, 5 years has passed.
That's amazing. That's a great accomplishment.
Yes, sir.
You know, they say for a restaurant, getting past the first 5 years, that's the big hurdle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When we first met, you were doing the food truck or the trailer at the farmer's market, and then you guys made the big transition. Mm-hmm. So tell about the journey of going from the food truck to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. That journey, there's so many nooks and crannies and crevices. Every single one has its own separate story. So we started at the farmer's market and worked our way up from there, and the food truck, the farmer's market, really every single thing was at one point a big break for us. And we celebrated every small success. When we were at the farmer's market, we started with two cast iron pots on a camper stove burner. And I remember my mom, she's one to go garage selling and go picking up little knickknacks for here and there and making things a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
And we celebrated when we found a warmer to put the catfish in. And so we didn't have to constantly wait for orders to get ready, getting 20, 30 tickets behind. We could have catfish in the warmer waiting for hush puppies, and whoever wanted to order, it was right there. So we're like, cool, that is huge for us. And I think an important part of the journey was making sure each success felt at just as big as the last one. When we made our jump to the food trailer, the entire family was ecstatic, but it was like buying a warmer. It was like getting that one piece of equipment that made our lives a whole lot easier. So when we got the food trailer and made that jump, it was big for us, but we didn't make it seem like it was this huge thing that was going to change our lives forever like it did. We made sure to keep things in perspective as a family, have each other's backs and say, okay, this is just another step to where we want to be and where we want to go.
And then you went from the food trailer to this place.
And then this place. That was also a really, really big step. It didn't sink in until 3 or 4 months after we signed the lease how big of a step it was. Because me and my mom, we're really simplistic people. We didn't go to college to own restaurants or to open places or to do the numbers. We were like, cool. This is a space. We could cook in here. That was pretty much the long and short of it. And when me and mom and my brothers moved in, we were like, okay, we need tables first. We need chairs. And then we need cooking equipment. And then, bam, we're going to open. And it didn't happen that way at all.
It does not work quite that way. Yeah. Quite that easily.
So we got the tables, we got the chairs, and we got the cooking equipment. And it only filled one room. It only filled the front room. We're like, did we bite off more than we could chew here? But we kept at it. It was, as long as we treated it like it was getting a cast iron pot or picking up that warmer or getting that steam table, as long as we treated it like that and kept it as one step at a time, we were able to eventually get to where we wanted to go. And the grand opening, I believe, was March 28th of 2019 when we opened up. And the place didn't look anything like this. We just...
Oh, no.
We
no.
literally... We did not open
get
this
it
place.
Open.
Yeah, it was literally just get it open. And as long as the kitchen equipment was there, as long as the staff was there, as long as we knew how to do what we knew how to do, we felt like we could be successful.
It was ultimately about the food.
It so was, yes.
You can finish the aesthetics.
Yeah, whenever it's finished, it'll be finished.
Right, right.
You know? Yeah. So,
and it's not finished yet.
It's still not finished. I mean, you could all, and that's another thing with restaurants and why it's so difficult. There's always something you can add. There's always something that you could hang on the wall or a bit of ambience that you could add, maybe another speaker. You will always find something that you could put into the restaurant.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a never-ending project. And really, if you treat it like that, then it always stays new to you. It doesn't get tiring. It doesn't get grating or, oh, I got to come into work today, go through the same thing. No, it's always something new as long as you keep that perspective.
Right, I love that. Mm-hmm. What inspired the transition from a food truck to the restaurant? Was there an actual inspiration, or
really, it was do what mom says. It was to be honest, it was an opportunity that came by. This place had sat empty for a little while. Being Oak Harbor residents, we drove by it just about every day. Whether we were doing events like the hydroplane races down here on Bayshore in our food truck, or it was the 4th of July at Windjammer Park, or anything like that, it was always just here, and we continually drive by it. And eventually, it just got to the point where, I just decided, well, let me go up and walk up to the window and see what the price is for the spot. It was too high at first. We could not afford it. But I just kept coming back and checking every week, every couple days. And as time went on, I noticed it kept coming down, and eventually made it to a point where, why not? What the heck? Let's give it a shot. Mom came in. We met with the landlord. He's also a local, fantastic gentleman. And we met with him when the place was empty. And when we started walking through the place, we started dreaming. We started believing that we could do something special with the opportunity. The landlord, Mr. Rob, said he believed in what we could do with the spot, and he gave us the chance. And after that, when we got the chance, and my mom, Miss Jackie, was given the opportunity to open the place, where Mr. Rob put the keys in her hand and said, fall in love with the place, and then we'll come back and talk. She did. We walked around this place probably 100 times. Okay, we could put some tables there. We got the stage there. How many people can we seat in this area? Oh, this would be a great banquet room. Imagine if we could do this. And after that, it was a done deal. It was a wrap. Mom was decided, and her heart was set. So it was like, all right, let's fall in line. Let's fall behind mom and make sure we do this thing right.
Right.
If anything
right.
else, let's do it right.
It's come together. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel the transition has from the food truck to the restaurant has affected the dining experience for customers?
Well, for the dining experience, going back again, we were never trained in restaurants. All of us had separate experiences working at other places. I worked at, an all-you-can-eat KFC down in Mississippi. My brothers have worked at other full-service restaurants on the island. My brother Chris, he worked at Prima Bistro down on the south of the island for a while. Timothy and Anthony have worked at restaurants here in Oak Harbor too. And it was pretty much just cobbling together experiences that we've had and what we would like to see. And we created something that was unique, but we were also coming from food trucks. We didn't really know how full service worked, what fast casual meant, what does all of it mean, and what does it mean for the customer. So even to this day, we're learning. We're learning, what services could we offer better? What is something that, people have been asking us for? So the transition, I will say, from the food truck to a space like this, it was difficult and it was challenging, but it wasn't something that we could overcome. As long as we listen to the people who are walking through the door,
right,
listening to what they're saying, they have no reason to tell a story, to lie to us about, this is what you should do. When they spoke, we had to listen, and we can offer the food, but when it comes to how to serve it, we have to have open minds and open ears.
Okay. You guys have done a great job. So what challenges have you faced during this transition, and how did you overcome them?
Challenges. Yes, there were quite a few. And everyone thinks, you know, you get a restaurant and you just serve food. And there's so much more that goes into it. The back end, of course, the cost analysis, handling, you know, a crew of people that you've just hired in, and they're depending on you having a functioning restaurant, a place that works to the best of its ability. Oh, another one, delegating responsibilities, where in a food truck, you have this much space, just the elbow space. You turn your hips, and you can do 90% of the jobs in the food truck, whereas with 11,000 square foot location, absolutely not. You are going to be running yourself ragged trying to do every single thing that is inside of a restaurant.
Absolutely.
I guess one of the biggest challenges starting the restaurant in this space was the bar. Because in a food truck, you can check your costs, you can watch over every single plate that goes out, you can see every single thing, but one, neither me nor my mom drink alcohol. So we would have to hire and delegate responsibilities like we've never done before. Handling pouring, inventory, knowing the alcohols that are popular with customers. All those things had to be delegated out. And that is still something that we're learning to this very day. You know, trying to trust someone to handle a huge part of your business is daunting. So those are the things that we're still trying to learn, still trying to handle. And I'd say that is the biggest challenge is knowing what needs to be done and then delegating the things that you know you can't do.
Well, they say you should hire people smarter than you.
That's true.
We can only do so much, and our box is only so big. You can find people that can take that on and do those jobs even better than you can.
Absolutely.
It's hard to do. It's such a challenging thing to do.
It's been challenging, and the island, it has fantastic residents too. It does have a very rich wealth of people from all walks of life that have been able to come in, leave their impression, and make a difference on a restaurant, on a customer, on a system. I mean, just about anything. So, I mean, we've been just so appreciative of the people who have come in and have left their mark on what we do.
So what are your plans for the future of Orlando's?
Okay. Yeah, so the plans for Orlando's, we didn't know that we'd make it this far. I don't think anyone who goes into the restaurant business plans to fail, but also the odds are never really in your favor when it comes to a restaurant. So we had set imaginary goals when we first came in, like, okay, you know, let's make it to Christmas and then celebrate Christmas. And then let's make it to 4th of July and then watch the fireworks. So the goals were more around the restaurant than where the restaurant and where the business was going. And if we could just set those timelines, hey, let's make sure we're around for this. Let's make sure we're around for that. And then follow that roadmap all the way down to the smaller things. Well, okay, if we want to be around for that, maybe we should get a handle on, you know, how much brisket blow-off we're having. For people at home, brisket blow-off is when you slice brisket, how much of it is not sliceable. If you slice a brisket wrong, there's tons of blow off. So let's shrink that down and make sure we get a good profit on that. Let's make sure we take care of our employees. Let's make sure they're happy. Maybe there's things that we could be doing better. Let's bounce it off of them so that way we can be sure to be here. So I guess that's been one of our strengths and weaknesses, is that we don't look further than 3 to 6 months. Let's make it through these 3 to 6 months and then evaluate how we did and then plan the next 3 to 6 months. But if I were to make an on-the-spot 5-year plan, I want to still be around. I want to still be in this location. I'd want to still be serving with the island. And I'd want us to be a landmark for people who come to Whidbey. I want people to be proud of this location, to say, hey, you know, Whidbey Island has Orlando's barbecue. It's one of the biggest family-owned barbecue restaurants in the entire state of Washington. And that's an amazing thing to say here on Whidbey Island, you know? And we never planned on it being that. We never thought it would be that. We just started, let's serve some food. And it's led us this far. So that would be the 5-year plan. Be around and be a landmark and be something that Whidbey Island can be proud of.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color? that's a screwball or a curveball. let me. We've tried to incorporate a lot of all of our favorite colors into our logos. I have four older brothers, Thomas, Chris, Timothy, and Anthony. And Thomas, he does all of our marketing. When we first started, our colors were purple, orange, and blue. Orange is my favorite color, but purple has been kind of a family favorite color because we're all Laker fans. We all like basketball, so we incorporated that color. And blue, I believe, was my mom's favorite color. She likes the color of blue, and with it being a Navy town, we also thought it was fit. Well, incorporating those three things was part of the graphic design that my oldest brother did to incorporate into our logo. And to this day, we still have blue in our logo. We utilize a bit more black because our uniforms are all black. But my favorite color, if I had to answer the question, would be orange.
I like orange. Yeah. Orange is a good color.
Nice color. It's sunset, and a couple of our drinks incorporate orange, too.
There we go. I love it. Well, Orlando, thank you very much for sitting down with me.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on 5 years. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Great landmark to hit. We'll have to do this again.
We will, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right.